Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. We're going to be discussing a lot of issues today. We're going to be talking about the government claims, 100% ownership of your DNA. We're going to talk about Boy Scouts, and we're also going to be talk a little bit about spying. So lots of things. So make sure you stay tuned. But first, let's do the market report today. It was a fairly light day in trading, heading into a three-day weekend. And of course, today is Friday, May 24th, 2013. Gold today closed looking to be at about down 780 at 1384. Silver is down 28 cents at 2245. Platinum was down 12 at 1458. Palladium was down a dollar at $730. The USDX today is trading down slightly lower, 0.13 at 8360. Crude oil, just down a couple cents, down 3.3 at 93.92. The markets today, the equity markets, they didn't do a whole lot today either. They actually ended lower for the first time in a month. And, of course, in response to global slowdown, like that's a new and exciting new situation that we're supposed to be expecting. But you had the Dow. That was up briefly about 8 points at 15,303. The NASDAQ basically unchanged, 34.59. Same way with the S&P unchanged at 16.49. 10 years still hanging out at 2.01. So little trading today, mild trading. Didn't have a chance to see what the European markets did overnight. A lot of things going on in London, and you have a lot of riots going on at various places, and perhaps we'll get to those a little bit later on in the program. But first, I'd like to say good afternoon to Alfred.
Hi, Melody. TGIF, huh?
TGIF.
Uh-huh.
Going to, and we'll have to tell the listeners that this program, this broadcast, will be replayed on Monday. I think both of us are taking a break on Monday.
It's a good idea. I'm thinking about maybe taking a break today. I haven't made up my mind yet, though. I
too late.
I'll hang out for another
too
55
late.
Minutes
yeah.
or so.
What else do you have to do, Al?
Well, the things that are at least important to me, I may not have anything important to the rest of the world, but for me, some of this stuff seems important. I don't know.
Well, so I'm looking forward to a three-day weekend, but I always tell my clients, if you need something, call. I always check messages all day long, but for the most part, we'll be closed also on Monday. But we do have that great special following through from yesterday, $535 for an AU $5 Liberty gold piece, along with a one-ounce silver round, free shipping. And you need to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And what's next, Al?
Well, I don't know. Let's talk a little about Obama. This is an interesting article, and it is potentially important. This is the New York Times, and the headline is "Pivoting from a War Footing, Obama Acts to Curtail Drones." The article reads in part, it says, "Nearly a dozen years after the hijackings that transformed America, President Obama said Thursday that it was a time to narrow the scope of the grinding battle against terrorists and begin the transition to a day when the country will no longer be on a war footing." Declaring that America is at a crossroads, the president called for redefining what has been a global war into a more targeted assault on terrorist groups threatening the United States. As part of a realignment of counterterrorism policy, he said he would curtail the use of drones, commit to closing the prison at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, and seek new limits on his own war power. Now, this is really pretty amazing. I don't doubt he said it. I don't know what he's going to do exactly. But he is essentially saying that we have decided not to invade every country on the face of the globe. We have invaded Afghanistan, and we've invaded Iraq, and we've participated in an invasion of Libya, and we're preparing to perhaps participate in some sort of an invasion of Syria. And we've been talking about invading Iran for probably 2 years now anyway, and as if it's going to happen at any moment. It's died down, but I'm thinking of all the countries that we haven't yet invaded, right? Like Canada. I'm thinking we should invade Canada, Melody, because it's close, we have limited logistical problems, and we can take them. You understand? We could handle Canada. Now, Mexico's also close, but there's no point to invading them because they're invading us. Huh? So, I don't know. This is just, it strikes me as an extraordinary change in policy. If President Obama has decided to ease up on the war against terrorists, and it is perhaps a result of innumerable programs on radio and internet and shortwave that have pointed out how for 12 years now, how crazy this war on terror has been, and how crazy it threatened to become. And perhaps the weight of the criticism has finally just reached a point where Obama says, fine, we can't do it anymore. My guess is it signals that we're probably so broke we can't even afford to invade, I don't know, the Dominican Republic. You know, another fly speck on the globe. But maybe we're just too broke to continue invading. Whatever the real reasons, Obama appears to be backing off on the war on terror, and I say hooray, because it's been nothing but a crock all along. It's been a false pretense under which we have dissipated billions of dollars, probably trillions of dollars. We have threatened the liberty of our own country. Our own freedoms have been threatened by this war on terror. And nobody even knows where the terrorists are, and who are they, and how many are they? I mean, the whole thing has been insane. It's been insane since we invaded Iraq. Why did we invade Iraq? Because to get the weapons of mass destruction. Only there weren't any. You know, it is conceivable. I don't believe it. It's conceivable that the evidence that supported the idea that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, it's conceivable that people in our government really believe that crap. But the strong probability is that it was an intentional lie fostered by the government to justify an invasion that they wanted for reasons that had nothing to do with terrorism. We wanted to invade Iraq, so we came up with some cock and bull story about weapons of mass destruction. Is that the truth? of the matter? I don't know, and I may never know, but it certainly appears to be. But even if it were not true that we started this war in Iraq based on knowing that the pretense, weapons of mass destruction, was false, even if that were true, why did we stay for 8.5 years? Once we figured out there were no wars, there were no weapons of mass destruction, why didn't somebody say, oops, sorry about that, and pull out? We didn't pull out until we essentially ran out of cash. Apparently, perhaps that's what we're seeing today, is evidence that the government can no longer afford to invade countries, which is a blessing for the world and probably a blessing for the American people. So, in any case, President Obama's text here, he says, we're backing off. I regard that as good news, surprising news, even extraordinary news.
Yeah, but Al, I'm going to have to look at it from a different point of view. If it was any other president, I would agree with you. However, look who it's really benefiting. I read an article earlier today where Pakistan and Yemen, these two countries are most affected by a lot of these strikes. And if you read between
drone
what
strikes.
Is the actual
you're talking about
yeah,
drone
what,
strikes.
And but what is the actual meaning of this, considering his what a lot of people believe his religious affiliations? I mean, he's sort of part of that group that is targeted as terrorists, and so therefore, what is his true meaning behind this? Because it to me, he's not doing it for this country. He hasn't done anything for this country.
No,
not
I
when
agree
you
with
pass
that. I
all
won't
the
argue.
Things, I'm... not with well, all the things that he has passed. Along even with the previous administration, with the Patriot Act and the NDAA and everything else that they've passed in order to take away our liberties and our freedoms. So I don't think what he's doing in his comment is true. I think there's certainly a lot more if you read between the lines. And
well, there probably is. I don't. I wouldn't. I'm not.
So,
I'm
no.
Not
I wouldn't
Obama's
trust
altruistic
this guy.
Or he's got religion all of a sudden. I'm just saying that for whatever reason we are perhaps backing off on the war on terror, and that may be
and
a good thing. I think it's a great thing. I think it might mean that you can get on a plane without being radiated or groped.
My big question is why?
Well, that's right. We don't know why. But there are two reasons. One is he's discovered that it's counterproductive. And they have, I was looking at some of the statistics on drone strikes. There are something like the average drone strike, I was doing the math, in Pakistan, the average drone strike kills about 9 people. And out of that 9, they're probably only going after 1 or 2. We have 6, 7 people, innocent civilians, who are killed out of every drone strike, and that has to infuriate the people of Pakistan. While we're going after particular individuals, there's other people standing around, and they get killed. And we may be killing 7 or 8 innocent people for every 1 target we actually hit. In addition to that, there may be another 12, 20, however many bystanders who are wounded. It has to be counterproductive. It has to make people furious when this happens. So one of the reasons is that the drone strikes may not be working. Another reason, we talked about this on the radio program, maybe last week or the week before, I don't remember clearly, but there have been 2 studies out, one by the Pew Institute and another one by, I don't remember, one of the major mainstream news outlets, that indicate that about 30% of the people, now Americans, fear the government more than they do terrorists. Huh? There was another study that indicated they don't, similar number of people don't trust the government. All of this is an indication that the political tide is moving against Obama, the administration, and their desire to become a fascist government. 30%. People like ourselves and people who listen to these programs, we talked about it, we are no longer the lunatic fringe. We have made a difference, and we have grown dramatically over the years to where a lot of people, one out of three, is sympathetic to the ideas and attitudes that we express on this program. Obama must be aware of that. And insofar as he sees that people have greater sympathy for what we're talking about and we typically talk about on this program, he has to realize he's got to change his ways. It won't be long. It's going to be 50% of the people agree with what we're saying, and then 70%. And sooner or later, there is going to be the equivalent of a political revolution when we're going to throw most of the con artists out of the Congress and the Senate and the White House and put some people in there that are interested in doing what's right for the United States of America rather than what's right for the Mexican invaders and what's right for global free trade and multinational corporations. And one of the ways you stop that political loss from Obama's perspective is you have to stop the war on terror. It's antagonizing too many people, and too many people are aware of it. So hard to say. And again, the third point is maybe he's just going broke.
I think he's stopping the war against his own people, and he's in the hot seat because of Benghazi and everything. So I guess he had to come out and say something good. I agree. I mean, this war on terror is totally out of, I agree with you, all those points on there and why it's got to stop. But coming from this person, coming from this man, mm-hmm. I don't believe it 100%. I don't believe it at all.
Well, I'm suspicious. I don't take it. I take it all with salt, but it is still an extraordinary and surprising
statement. Particularly after you have some guy that gets hacked to death in London.
Oh, I understand.
And it comes out right after that. I don't know. Again, it could be a good thing, but for some reason, it's telling me something's going on. Maybe they've already have everything in place. I mean, they've taken the NDAA. They can spy on us. They can do whatever they want. So maybe they don't need any more of these terrorist events in order to push anything through on legislation. So maybe they don't need it. Maybe they will save a few bucks so that they can put it towards their Obamacare. You know, there's got to be something in there for him to come out and say this, because I don't believe he would... it only benefits his people. So anyway,
it might be, but good enough. That's the way politics is. Mm. I won't say it only benefits his people. It's an admission that people who have been critical of his administration are winning. They've been critical on the war on terror. They've been winning. Where are the terrorists? When was the last time you saw one? Yeah. I mean, we're talking about a war that's paralyzed this country that could be waged against what? A couple of thousand individuals around the globe? You could put them all in one. You could put all of the people, all the terrorists in the world that we have to deal with, you might be able to put them certainly in one amphitheater. You might be able to get them in one theater. Picture studio.
Here's another scenario. Now there will be an event. No matter who causes it or who creates it, now there can be another event based on this that they can point their finger to, and maybe something even more bigger.
Well, there's a bunch of things that could happen. We don't know where it's going, but still the point is simply this marks a big change. Something is going on, and it is, we'll watch and see how it works out, but this is... Mm-hmm. This is powerful information. Obama's saying the war on terror that's been going on for 12 years is going to draw to an end.
Are they going to bring home everybody?
People expected it to last for 20, 30 years.
Maybe are they going to bring all the troops?
Maybe they'll have a party on the White House lawn and they'll invite you and me. We don't know. What we do know is it's time for a commercial break, and we're going to take that break. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom, Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Melody, you want to repeat the special to folks, today's special, the special du jour?
I would love to. $535 will get you an AU $5 Liberty gold piece, almost a quarter ounce of gold pre-19. Actually, most of them are in their 1880s, 1890s, beautiful coins. 1 ounce silver round, 0.999 silver, and you get that basically free with this order, along with free shipping. So everything is included in that $535. You can give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you check out our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Sign up for a weekly newsletter, and you can listen to the programs that are archived there on a daily basis. And I want to thank you all for listening and supporting Discount Gold and Silver Trading. A lot of the profits go right back into these programs. We're expanding. We're broadcast. We can't do a lot of broadcasts at 4 o'clock in the afternoon across the country. That's a prime time. It's very difficult to get that hour. So we rebroadcast our programs in Spokane, Memphis, Nashville, Louisiana, California, shortwave goes around the world, of course. So, and we're on various shortwave stations. So, we thank you for your support, and we have a caller.
Okay, who's calling?
We have Jimmy from West Virginia.
I'm back. Yeah,
what's going on,
Jim? I love y'all's recent programs. I mean, I love it when Alfred takes off on a rant. He does so good. I've got two things to kick out here. The first one is, do you think that maybe, just maybe, we have an economic collapse coming down and he's pulling our military in to protect the fatherland?
It's entirely possible. It may be that he's going to end the war on terror that's being waged against us by foreign entities in order to focus on their notion of domestic terrorism, which is waged by people like myself who stand up and criticize, and you, Jim, who stand up and criticize the government. They regard that as a terrorist act. To be a dissident in this country has become an act of terrorism from the government's perspective. You know, it's hard to say. We live in interesting times. And no matter what happens, it's going to continue to get more interesting. The news reports next week will be even more interesting than the news reports this week, and God only knows what they're going to be.
Well, the one thing which heartens me greatly, I've heard numbers between 350,000 and 950,000 troops, either on our soil or on our borders, but that bothers me.
Are you talking about foreign troops?
That bothers me. But to be honest with you, every day that we have not had a collapse, I wanted to say just bring it on the last 30 years, actually, but every day that goes by, I sit and think to myself, well, we've won another heart and mind amongst our uniformed individuals. Every time I have read history, I've run into somewhere 50, 60, 70, I don't know how many people who have gone through economic collapses and escaped their countries. Invariably, they say, we couldn't believe it happened in our country, about 80% of them. But the one thing which thrills me greatly is that as more and more people in the military side with the people, they're better off. As more and more people who work for the government side with the people, we have seen a distinct political change. I'm just thankful it didn't crash 6 months or a year ago, because I think our military is waking up. Also, can I put in an unabashed plug for Millie's newsletter?
I don't know if we can do unabashed, but go ahead. We're going to trust you. As long as you don't, this is family radio, so we don't want completely unabashed, but go ahead, Jim.
No, I try to be gentleman. I always try to be gentleman. Yes. But I've been awake since 65, and I started writing for the letter just a little bit odds, and it's not all the time, but I run into problems with my email and such as that. When I bring up certain subjects, they get stopped. I wonder why. But I've been awake since 1965, and I've read Decline and Fall of the Third Reich and Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, actually a stack of history books my parents made me read when I was in high school, and I didn't want to read it. But I've been writing some interesting things. For instance, economic reporting. We've actually, real economists, my parents made me read Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations when I was a kid. It was a tough read. That guy's sentences, like you say, the longest in the world, most convoluted, but I skipped a lot of them. But when you look at the real output of the private sector, so far as bales of cotton and tons of steel and barrels of oil and such as that, and the, you know, food, fuel, fiber, materials, tools, finished goods, from the private sector, finished services, when you look at that, we've actually been in a depression, folks, for about 40 years. Now, there are certain individual parts of an economy
that
can be in depression.
Which would take us back to when? 40 years ago, Jim?
Yeah, well, about 73.
Which follows what? What's the significance of 40 years ago?
That's when we went off the gold standard and the currency. The gold standard. We went off the gold standard that cranked up the printing presses.
Yeah.
So it's a monetary issue, and my parents called the Federal Reserve Counterfeiting Company when I was in high school, and I'm 62 years old. But the bottom line,
I didn't know they had high schools back that far back.
That was started a nice age after I was born. But at any rate, seriously, when you look at the real situation, depression is three or more quarters of zero or negative growth, and when you correct everything for what have you, that's where we've been for about 40 years. Now, okay, and that takes about 2.5 to 3 times the number of man hours of labor to have the same standard of living as back then. We're talking, you know, food and how many square feet of housing. Now it's a situation where wages every year have dropped since 73, with the exception of 76, when corrected for wages per man hour, when corrected for inflation and such as that. So you've got to understand that everything you've been told basically is a lie. But I've written a string of little articles in there. I make them as short and as intense as I possibly can about the case for metals, whether it's the stock market, the bond market, insurance, whether it's your retirement and whether it's you try to invest in real estate. I just wrote one on real estate, which that's the one they like to stop because I said the International Property Maintenance Code, which is raw property theft, and the clouded titles issue. If you go back and read those, you will have a most intense something to hand somebody. And I'm going to tell you folks something else. I've been reading Alfred's blog off and on for 2 or 3 years. He's a whole lot smarter. He comes over off on the radio.
Oh,
and Melanie knows.
Sure, whether you're giving a compliment or you're not there, Jim.
I'm sorry.
I'm not sure. Is that a compliment or is that a what is that? You're saying
that,
this guy's got as dumb as sounds. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Well, on the radio format, you're talking directly to an audience, but you go a lot deeper than you let on the radio. So, you were the one who told me where to find government of the United States listed on Manta.com. But there are ever so many things you've been lied to about, and I have tried my best to write as intense an overview as possible. And I really believe if you want the most intense primer, particularly for new listeners, about what this is all about, go there. And I'm going to be writing one about the final, and I mean the final reason for case for metals. It's a little form called 706. Do you all know what that form is, folks?
I do not.
IRS form.
Too many of the people in
okay.
the audience to answer right now, so we're going to have to presume that they probably don't know. Go ahead.
It is the inheritance and death tax, gift tax, gift and inheritance.
You know, the
that
tax
is the final reason for metals. Okay?
And what you're
I'll make this real short. My dad died in a fire in 1992, and I went through grievous efforts on earth, 1,200 hours, to straighten that thing out and fill out Form 706. Everything had to be appraised. But the bottom line is there's every reason for metals, folks. In other words, for instance, there are problems with the real estate market, the clouded titles. They can steal property. The government claims they own all the property. They claim they own us. They claim they own our DNA. They claim they own our children. They claim they own everything. But if they can't get their hands on it, it ain't theirs. It's that bad. But the bottom line is if you look at Melody's newsletter, I'm sure she's got a whole lot of information in there, very intense, and you can pass them along to others. There are not a lot of people just now waking up, and they're shaking off the sleep and is thinking, what's going on? And Melody's newsletters are intense. So I'd like to make a plug for them. Just, I'm not paid to do any writing. I've never been paid to write. I just have so much I need to share with other people because I'm in this to save lives. I'm out here in the woods. I've got my chickens. I've got my wood stove out in the middle of nowhere. And I'm just doing this for you folks, just the same way Melody does. Now, Melody could be pocketing a whole lot more money, but no, she pours it into education. Alfred, same deal. He's pouring out his heart and soul for you folks because we care and we do love you. I think I've run my mouth enough, don't you?
Well, I'm sure that you'll be back, though. I don't mean you may be enough for today, but I will bet you'll be back Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Will you be back one of the days next week at least, Jim?
If I can help.
You'll be here. We'll look forward to it.
You do.
All
right. You folks do fine.
All right,
Jim. Thank you much.
Bye-bye. You know, part of what Jim is talking about, well, I guess we can hold off on that. Where are we? We are, oh, no, we've got 6 minutes till next break. I'm looking at the, you get old, you confuse yourself sometimes, Melody. But here's an article, Why Americans Are Miserable and Broke, at Fox Business News. The article's not particularly intense, but it's interesting to see. It says, want to know why the gap between haves and have-nots keeps growing? Because the haves live within their means. They don't waste their hard-earned money on all the crap that Americans spend billions, even trillions on each year. American consumers seem to have an almost insatiable appetite for just about any type of useless garbage that anyone decides to make in China for a few bucks and sell here for a few hundred, which is probably why nobody has any savings and everyone complains they don't have enough money to live on. The article continues, and it's not a profound article, but it does bring up the idea that we've embraced the the concept of consumerism, and that we can all be consumers, and that we don't actually have to produce. We just have to consume. The government has, this has been part of the government's philosophy for at least a generation, maybe two. All they have to do is stimulate consumption. As long as we're consuming things, as long as you buy something and I buy something, the other guy buys something, we're all going to get rich. And we have completely lost the idea of production. And it absolutely comes first. It is a necessity. We have tried to satisfy ourselves by purchasing things that are frequently just trash and garbage, and they're like the equivalent of junk food. And we have garages. We have a two-car garage, and we keep the car out on the car is on the driveway. We don't have space in the garage because we're storing all our junk in the garage, or we don't have space for the car because we're storing all of our junk in the garage. This is evidence of a false mindset, a false philosophy, an unreliable system of values that's been fostered on the American people, and we have accepted the idea that we can live as consumers rather than producers. We can send our jobs to foreign countries, and we can still get rich. We can still be prosperous in this country if we just consume enough. And the whole thing is insane, and it's part of the reason why some of us are going to have gold in our pockets or in our closets or buried in the backyard or wherever. And when we do, we are going to be able to get by when all of the people who still embrace the idea of consumerism suffer the shock of realizing you actually have to pay your own way in this world. You actually have to produce at least as much as you consume, and ideally more. If you want to prosper, you have to produce more than you consume. And we have, 40% of the people depend at least in part for their support on government. These people aren't producing. To the extent they depend on government for their support, they're not producing. They're not making a positive contribution. And I'm talking about government employees, for example. They are frequently overpaid, and they want an automobile, but they don't build automobiles. They want a house, but they don't build homes. They want food, but they don't grow food. The only way they can have money to buy food and cars and homes is by taking money from the people who actually produce the cars and the homes and the food. It's a parasitical mindset, and sooner or later, the truth and reality will intrude, and you're going to find out that you can't live as a consumer. You have to produce at least as much as you consume, and ideally you produce more in order to generate some wealth. Insofar as we've lost sight of that, we are headed for a day of reckoning, a moment when all of a sudden people are going to be shocked to discover that they can't just shop till they drop, all right? Or perhaps maybe that old cliche, shop till you drop, maybe it's true. And maybe we have finally hit the moment when we're going to drop. Can't shop anymore. Then what? Better have some gold, folks. Better have some savings. And this article parallels, again, why Americans are miserable and broke. We have embraced a lie. We've embraced a false mindset. And then it goes right along with the idea that we could use debt instruments, which is all those green pieces of paper in your wallet are debt instruments. We can use those and call them money. We can treat debt as if it were an asset and somehow get rich. It's insane, and it's pushing us toward a moment that is going to be shocking and painful. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. As many of you know, if you have a comment or even a question that you'd like to pose during the course of the program, you can send it to us by email. And Melody has received one or two comments or questions based on some of our earlier segments, the first two segments in the program. So, Melody, why don't you tell folks what you got here?
Well, Phil from Ontario sends us an email, and he says, "Invade Canada? Why bother? American teams have already stolen our best hockey players. What's left to capture? Happy Memorial Day to you and Alfred." Thank you, Phil.
Yep, thanks for listening. We everybody understands I'm just joking about invading Canada, but Phil is just joking in his reply. But in any case, we certainly appreciate everybody who's listening to the program. We always appreciate your feedback, whatever it is. What else do we have, Melody?
We also have something in from Robert, but we'll have to address this on, I guess, Wednesday. We'll be back Wednesday. You'll be back on Tuesday with Roger Sales, and then you and I will be back together on Wednesday, as this program will be replayed Monday on Memorial Day. So we'll discuss that on Wednesday, Bob. And we have another writer in who thinks that anything that comes out of a psychopath's mouth, you can't believe anything that comes out of Washington, and that was from our earlier segment.
Well, I agree. You can't believe it, but, you know, I mean, it still signals there's a change. When they stand up and start talking about something, you know there's going to be a change. Maybe a good change, maybe a bad change, but something is changing, and that's the important point. President Obama's talking about ending the war on terror, or at least scaling it back dramatically. We'll see where it all works out, but that's a surprise. What else have we got, Melody?
All righty. Let's see. Boy Scouts of America. Yep. Yesterday, they ended the ban on openly gay youth. I guess they still are extending it to the group leaders,
yep.
Which, you know, how are they going to know?
That's going to last.
Yeah, it's not going to last long because they're getting
Once you let the gays into the openly gay Boy Scouts, I guarantee it's only a question of time. You're going to have openly gay Scoutmasters, you know, the whole thing is just, you know, I don't mind on one level. I don't mind if people are gay. If that's what you want to be gay. I think it's wrong. I think it's stupid. I think it's self-destructive. But if that's what you want, do it. I don't care. But don't try to give me some lies. That's what offends me about it. This thing is presented as if the poor homosexuals are just being unjustly discriminated against because they have embraced a different lifestyle than other people. The truth is, it's not a lifestyle. It's a death style. There were studies done. The government in the 1980s declared that insurance companies could no longer keep track of how many deaths are associated with homosexuality. Insurance companies track everything to whether or not you wear a bow tie, and they calculate. If you wear a bow tie, do you live longer? Do you live not as long? They calculate. It's what they do, try to figure the odds on the policies they offer to the public. But in the 1980s, when the AIDS epidemic broke out, the government passed laws that restricted the insurance companies from tracking disease and mortality relative to homosexuality. And as a result, nobody talks about this, but there were a couple of studies done in the 1980s, and one in particular I can remember. I can't remember the doctor who did the study, but he studied mortality of homosexuals, and he concluded that the average homosexual was giving up at least 20 years of life expectancy in order to embrace this particular alleged lifestyle. And all I'm saying, it's not a lifestyle. If you're going to give up 20 years of your life in order to be queer, you are embracing a death style. I'm saying it's a form of slow suicide. Now, if you want to do that, that's your business. I'm not here to tell you you shouldn't, but you should not, and we should not, encourage children to embrace homosexuality and treat it as if it is a lifestyle. It would be more responsible for us to teach the Boy Scouts to chew tobacco and smoke cigars than it is to implicitly sanction, approve of the homosexual alleged lifestyle. If you smoke tobacco, you'll lose an average of maybe 5 years of your life. If you want to be homosexual, you are quite possibly going to give up 20 on average. Now, I don't know that those numbers are still accurate today as they were in the 1980s, but I'll guarantee you that if there was any evidence to suggest that those people who turn homosexual live longer, we would never hear the end of it. Nobody's advocating that homosexuals live longer. The truth is, if the evidence were available, we would discover almost certainly that homosexuals die at a younger age because of the drugs, because of the promiscuity. It is lethal. And my point is, look, all right, if we want to teach Boy Scouts that it's okay to be gay, fine, let's do it, but let's tell them the truth. If you want to be gay, you're going to shorten your life by 10, 15, maybe 20 years. All right, let's do the truth.
Well, you know, I think something else, Al, that we can relate to this to is, it's a Christian organization. Why isn't a little more Bible study? Why can't they bring in Bible study? I mean, it's not a matter of the lifestyle that they can lead in the future and what happens to them, but it's a Christian organization. So why, and based on Christian principles, so why not teach the Bible? And therefore, we would see that then they can make that choice, which is more important than how long they're going to live. Where are they going to live in eternity is the big question.
Well, it's the big question, but even it is certainly it's the biggest question ultimately. That's, where are you going to spend eternity? It's the biggest question of all. That's the reality of the situation. But children are foolish. Children will do things just because they know it aggravates their parents. And if they know that it's going to really make dad mad if Junior declares that he's gay, all right, Junior just might declare that. If Junior thinks it's just a lifestyle choice. And what I'm trying to communicate is Junior needs to understand that if you're gay, you're gay. But if you're on the bubble and maybe you're gay and maybe you're not, you need to consider the fact that if you want to be gay, you will probably shorten your life expectancy and more dramatically than if you were smoking cigarettes. Right? It is a lethal choice. If you want to make a lethal choice, make a lethal choice. But you should have all of the information, and that applies to children. It applies to Boy Scouts. It applies to Boy Scout leaders. All that information should be available. Make a choice. Don't try to fool people and say, oh, it's just a lifestyle choice. BS. It's like driving drunk is a lifestyle choice. All right? There's trouble involved in this particular choice, and it can't be reasonably presented as something that's, you know, you could be the, could be head, could be tail, doesn't matter. It does matter. It makes an enormous difference. Do you know, I don't want to get too graphic on this. Do you know?
No. Yes.
Well, I'm not going to get into it right now, but it's not, this isn't bias. This is science. This is nature. It is arguably even God. Do you know why I think God says in the Bible, God is quoted as saying on one or more occasions that he regards homosexuality as an abomination? Why do you suppose that is, Melody?
I'll let you explain that one.
Not many people have an opinion, and the Bible doesn't make clear why the good Lord says that. All right, here's what I think. I know that at Genesis 1:26-28, it says on the sixth day, God created man in his image, God's image, and gave mankind, that means both men and women, created in God's image, and gave mankind dominion over the animals. We are the only creature on this earth that's made in God's image. Imagine you walked into a Catholic church where they have statues of the Christ and Mary and Joseph and so on, and you found some crazy guy in there trying to have sex with one of those statues. Most people would be appalled. They'd sit back and say, oh my God, what's wrong with that crazy guy? He's trying to have sex with the Virgin Mary, for God's sake. The man is out of his mind. The man is wicked. All right, these are nothing. These statues, in fact, are just wood or clay or whatever. They're no big thing. It's you and I, ladies and gentlemen, who are made in the image of God. We are the images of God. Huh? All of us. And when you engage in sodomy, what you are doing is sodomizing an image of God. I suspect that this may be why good Lord looks down and he says, that's an abomination. These people are sodomizing an image of God. Huh? They are using each other in a way that is unnatural. And as such, Bible doesn't say that. Bible doesn't support what I've just offered as a possible explanation, but I think that's what's going on. So from a spiritual perspective, I think that's part of the reason why God regards homosexuality as an abomination, or at least that's what the Bible says. And beyond that, then you get into the biological realities. Your body is intended to protect you. And that's why you ingest food through your mouth, and it goes into your stomach, and it takes a bath in acid. And the acid, among other things, is intended to kill whatever pathogens are in your food. And if there are some pathogens in the food, if you've been unwise in what you chose to eat, the pathogen, your body will signal, say, oh, no, I need that, and you will vomit the toxic substance out of your stomach. Or if it continues to move on down through your alimentary canal, your intestines, your large and small intestine, your body may sense it later on. They say, uh-oh, we got some toxins here. Next thing you know, you have diarrhea, and you try to eliminate those toxins from your system. But the body is intended to defend itself, operating on the assumption that things enter the mouth and are consumed and finally ejected through the bottom end of your colon. The body has no proviso for defense if things enter the bottom end of your colon. The bottom end of your colon is supposed to be the most absorptive portion of the entire alimentary canal. And if people are going to engage in sodomy and a disease is essentially inserted at the back end of your alimentary canal rather at the front end, it defeats the whole idea, the fundamental idea on which your body was based. It is, you are incredibly vulnerable to disease and pathogens. And the only thing to defend you is your mind. You have to sit back and say, look, this is wrong, this is stupid, this is crazy, this is self-destructive to engage in sodomy. And if you don't have brains enough to see it and understand it, then guess what? You're going to come up with the kind of diseases that shorten your lifespan, and this is exactly what we see in the homosexual community. This is not a game. It's not fun to talk about. It's not politically correct to talk about it, but it is a dangerous business to engage in the homosexual alleged lifestyle. It's part of the reason I say it. It's a death style. That's what it really is. It's a form of slow suicide. And it is wrong to teach a death style to children in Boy Scouts, for example. It's wrong. I don't mean that we can stop it. I'm just saying, good God. No, someone's got to realize that it would be more responsible. Again, no, we're not going to teach them to be homosexual. We're going to teach them to smoke Marlboros. The Marlboros only take 5 years of your life. The homosexuals might take 20. Which is more responsible? As adults, somebody's got to talk about it. Somebody's got to advance this idea. Someone has to make people understand this is not a game. This is serious, and you can't just be nice. You have to do what's right. For the moment, people don't want to do that. So the Boy Scouts have decided, they regard this, according to the article, they say that Boy Scouts of America on Thursday ended its long-standing policy of forbidding openly gay youths to participate in an activity, in its activities, a step its chief called compassionate, caring, and kind. Yeah, it's compassionate, caring, and kind, but we are going to get a bunch of people killed with their compassion, care, and kindness. Somebody's got to stand up and deal with the truth, with the objective reality, and say, this is wrong, this is stupid. If you want to do it, it's like drunk driving. I know we can't stop you, but if you insist on drunk driving, you are probably going to have a serious problem, and you will probably be removed from the gene pool a lot earlier than otherwise would otherwise be the case. Melody, we've got about 25 seconds left. Anything you want to add?
No, I think you said it all in that one, Al, and I thank you. You were very interesting, and it's just another sign of the decay of our country, and less and less God, and more and more of the other side.
I agree.
We'll be back. Yep. And remember, folks, this program will be rebroadcast on Monday. I want to wish everyone a very happy Memorial Day. I think things are going to be begin to heat up after the weekend. It was a very quiet week, and we'll have some great prices next week. And they can give us a call.
All right, folks, we've had it for the week. We will be back next week. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. I'm Alfred Addis.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.